Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. The new Screensavers is brought to you by WordPress. Reach more customers when you build your business website at WordPress.com. Plans start at just $4 a month. Get 15% off any new plan at WordPress.com/NSS. And by Ring. Ring's Alarm Security Kit is a smarter way to protect your entire home. Go to ring.com/NSS to learn how you can get whole home security for only $10 a month.
Autonomous security robots, an AR wearable for industry, and an eGPU battle. Live from the Twit Studios in Petaluma, California, it's the new Screensavers.
Once again, it's new Screensavers time. Hello, everybody. Leo Laporte on the left.
Alex Lindsay on the right.
Actually, you're on the left. I'm on the right.
It depends on how you look at it.
Or could I? Anyway, this is episode 170, August 18th, 2018. Hi, Alex. You're out from D.C.
I am.
You're back home for a little bit?
A couple days.
Good. Yeah. Alex, of course, my regular co-host on MacBreak Weekly, the founder of MacBreak Weekly. Did you see the bits we did with Sal Segoyan, your original guest on MacBreak?
I did not see those bits.
Two triangulations we did with him.
Oh, no, I did see those. Those were amazing. I thought there were other bits than the triangulation.
No. Yeah, in fact, he showed some great stuff, voice-activated stuff using Automator and Apple Script. That was a lot of fun. If you haven't seen those, twit.tv/TRI. I am wearing today my tribute to Spread Spectrum. I'm thinking because that's Rita Hayworth. Is that Rita Hayworth, you think? Yeah, I think it is. Did you know she invented Spread Spectrum?
I did not know that.
Many people don't. It's true, though. Look it up. You can find it on Wikipedia. Thanks, by the way, to Rick from Sydney for doing our show open. I appreciate it. He's here with his daughter, Zara. We have a great... You're going to be glad you came today. This is going to be a lot of fun. RealWear co-founder Andy Lowry is here. He's going to show us basically the successor to Google Glass. It's a rugged, hands-free, head-mounted Android, but it's for industry, and this is being widely used now in industry. We'll show you how this works. Yeah.
Also, Nightscope co-founder Stacy Dean Stevens with one of their crime-fighting robots.
It's RoboCop in our parking lot.
It's gonna be awesome. That's all I'm saying.
I said, can we arrest your children?
Yeah, and I said it was fine because they deserve it, you know. But no,
they're so cute. That's Malachi and Isabella, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are great. Go outside and try to steal something. I'm saying, just go ahead. Take this laptop and go outside and see what happens. No, they're not that silly. Fortnite's now on an Android. Speaking of Android,
yeah.
But to install it, you have to allow third party or unknown sources. Is that a security flaw? Jason Howell from All About Android will talk about the ramifications of installing Fortnite on your smartphone.
And speaking of Fortnite, if you're looking to bring down your ping time, Robert. We'll give you his review of the Netgear XR500 Nighthawk Pro router.
Is he in the Vatican? Is he going to do the review from the Vatican?
Oh, I hope so.
Coming
to you from the Synod.
I think it's going to happen. I think it's only a matter of time. I'm standing outside the College of Cardinals, where the smoke is still white.
Let's talk about a router while we're waiting.
I have a Raspberry Pi connected to the smokestack.
Yeah.
Apple and Blackmagic Design collaborated, as you know. I don't know why I bought it, but I did. This is the i9 MacBook Pro, which, by the way, I'll just give you an update. I'm loving. Is super fast. I use it with Lightroom all the time. Really great.
And you can cook with it in the morning.
It's a little warm, but not... Well, actually, it's really warm right now, but that's because we've been benchmarking.
Right.
See, that's kind of... what you know, when they were talking about how hot these get and their throttle and stuff, that's because they're benchmarking them, which, of course, really exercises.
They're perfectly cool when you're using TextEdit.
Yeah, well, a lot of what I do, they're cool. What mostly I do is burst mode stuff, like compiling software. It's very fast. Doesn't get that hot. I'm getting 8 or 9 hours battery life because it throttles really, really well. Anyway, I don't bring the GPU home. It's not exactly portable. This is the black magic.
It could be. Anything's portable if you've got a good case for it.
We thought we would expand our eGPU roster with this. This is from Razer. This is their Core X. Also works with Macs, or actually anything that supports an eGPU. You can use this on Windows machines as well. And unlike the black magic, this can be upgraded. You can put a variety of cards in here. So we're going to do a little head-to-head to see which one you want to get. And I'll tell you my thoughts about that as well. We've got some benchmarking to do. But first, the hot topics of the week. This one, a little worrisome. The FBI and the feds have, law enforcement from time to time, gone to Apple, quite famously saying, you have to help us unencrypt your smartphones. The latest is they want Facebook to help them wiretap phone calls on Facebook Messenger.
This is all kind of bad.
Facebook, so far, as best we can tell, and this is all sealed, so we're not really sure, has said no. Okay. Right. This is a case in federal court in California. It's under seal, but three people told Reuters that Facebook says, we're not going to do it. The arguments were heard on Tuesday. This will be very interesting. Neither the DOJ nor Facebook said would tell Reuters anything. It is a part of an investigation of that notorious MS-13 gang. In this case, it's in Fresno, California.
Turns out they're heavy users of Facebook.
They love Messenger. They use it all the time. They do the emoticons.
Yeah, there's Instagram. Like, hey, look at my new tat. Got another one right here.
I have to say, this is going to just be an ongoing, you know, fight between law enforcement that wants access to everything, wants to be able to wiretap everything, and companies like Apple and Facebook that I think quite reasonably say, look, if we put a back door in this code, it's not just you that's going to get it. Mm-hmm. It's eventually going to make the stuff insecure.
Right.
And when it's insecure, I'm not worried about the Department of Justice. I'm worried about hackers and others who will then have access to our stuff. And there's, you know, so this is a big fight. This is going to go on for a while. It's something to be aware of.
And I think that when you look at things like when the NSA tools got out into the open, we saw hospitals go down. We saw all kinds of their technology because they knew how to get into those back
doors. The WannaCry virus relied on technology from the National Security Agency.
That kind of undermines the argument. That's all I'm saying.
It's tough. I'm going to quote, and I've done this before, Phil Zimmerman, the creator of PGP, which is the encryption tool that's still very widely used to protect your email. It's strong. It's never been cracked. In fact, for a while, the U.S. government prohibited export of PGP code.
They printed the book.
They said it was guns. What did they call it? Because and they blocked export. But you could wear a T-shirt with the fundamental.
And he sold it as a book because freedom of speech. You could do anything.
But Phil said, and I think this is true. He said this is Zimmerman's law, by the way. Increased technology has given law enforcement unparalleled ability to surveil. There's cameras everywhere. There's GPS everywhere. Unparalleled. This is not a question of going dark. He said, in effect, law enforcement today has a widescreen, big screen, HDTV. They can see a lot of stuff. There's a few little dark pixels where they can't read encrypted email, they can't listen to encrypted phone calls, they can't get into somebody's smartphone. But that doesn't impede the overall ability to view that technology has given them. And Phil says, they just want perfect vision. It's not going to impair their ability to get their job done if they can't surveil everything.
And we can't have the assumption that everyone that has access to the technology is going to be a good actor. I mean, if you look at some of the reports that we saw from Snowden, people just using it to look at people that they knew.
Right.
You know, the thing is we can't assume. It's not, you know, we can't assume. It's not just the government. It's just there's human beings with access to the back doors. They're going to do bad things with it. I mean, eventually. And that's the real issue.
Oh, well, this conversation is not over. We're going to be talking about this more a lot, I'm sure, in time. Interesting, a group of engineers have created a way to detect bombs and guns. This is a problem. You know, you go into an arena, you watch the World Cup, the Olympics, these big arenas, very difficult to detect dangerous devices. Very expensive. You've got to scan people. They say they've come up with a way to do this using Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi. And it's fairly inexpensive. They're using basically off-the-shelf Wi-Fi routers. Engineers from Rutgers, Indiana University, Purdue University, and Binghamton University published a study this month in which they said everyday Wi-Fi can be used to, and they demonstrated it, efficiently identify weapons, bombs, explosive chemicals in public areas. Even, well, they gave as an example the Boston bomber, the pressure cooker bomb during the Boston Marathon. That's a public space. You can't screen everybody coming and going from there. But this technique would have unearthed that pressure cooker bomb.
Right.
So we'll watch with interest. Obviously, this is something new. I don't know if it's, you know, yet been turned into something law enforcement can use, but I think that's great news.
Very interesting. You know, finding low-level ways to kind of manage that process, especially around schools and stadiums. Yeah. I mean, you walk through a stadium and you just think this is a horrible.
Yeah, at least for the stadium, you can screen people going in. But
kind of.
Man, on the street, you're kind wide of. Open, yeah.
Have you ever been to a screening in a stadium?
I know, it's a little scary. I'm always a little nervous when I go places like Disneyland thinking, oh, that's a prime target, isn't it?
Yep.
Which is the argument why we should be able to get into Facebook Messenger and unencrypt phones. So we got both sides of the equation there. Finally, this is a great story. We always talk about new technologies and get excited about them. I remember when we first heard about supercapacitors, we said, oh, this is going to change the way batteries work. And it takes a while. Nothing much happened. You can buy a portable screwdriver you can charge in 30 seconds. Now the S Pen in Samsung's Galaxy Note 9 uses a supercapacitor. So it holds a charge for 30 minutes, but you can charge it up in 40 seconds by just putting it in. That's pretty cool. We've heard of other technologies. The 3D the 3D RAM technology Intel came up with a few years ago, CrossPoint. It's now, its official name is Optane. It's now just starting to come out.
Right.
So this is one of those where you go, ooh, this could change everything.
In 10 years.
But researchers have figured out a way to make the world's smallest transistor switches a single atom. A single atom. It's in a solid-state gel electrolyte. And here's the interesting thing. They've done this before at super low temperatures, at basically absolute zero. This is at room temperature, and they're able to do this and save. It's 1/10,000th the amount of power to switch this transistor. This means, ultimately, super-dense memories, super-dense processors that use significantly less power than the current silicon technologies.
And that's not just for, you know, our laptops, but just think about the miniaturization, the further miniaturization of everything from cameras to processing to even some of the stuff we're going to see today. That stuff becomes more powerful on a headset because it's going to be that much smaller and it can last on a battery charge for a lot longer.
You get a USB memory stick. It's got billions of transistors. That's that's the memory, right? It could now have trillions of transistors and use 1/10,000th of the power.
10 terabyte.
It's coming, baby! I can't wait. I hope it comes in the next 10 years. Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. Coming up, we're going to meet with Andy Lowry with RealWear. We're going to take a look at the next generation of wearables. We saw Google Glass. Everybody kind of said, yeah, that's not quite it. We know that, you know, Magic Leap and others are coming along, HoloLens with the goggles. But there's something in between that's already widely used in industry. We'll take a look at RealWear in just a second. Before we do that, I want to talk about our sponsor, WordPress, the host of my site, WordPress.com. If you go to leolaporte.com, that's a WordPress.com site. If you are a business, an individual, actually, I would argue anybody, I'm sure your kids, they should have their own website. Because you want to make sure that you're putting out there what you want as your image, whether you're a business or an individual. If you don't put a website up with your name, your best work, somebody else can put it up. And then you're out of luck. So right now, before you do anything else, go to WordPress.com and set up your brand new website. If you already got a website, you're going to see how much easier it is to go with WordPress. I've used WordPress since it came out, but I was doing my own hosting. That was a lot of work. I spent more time tweaking it than I did actually posting content. With WordPress.com, they take care of everything. The hosting, the security, the software updates. It costs less than running your own host. And you can choose from hundreds of designs, hundreds of plugins. You are going to have a site that reflects your vision
establishes your brand and looks the way you want it to, no matter how much experience you have. You don't have to be a geek. You don't have to be a designer. They've got everything you need to create a great site. Upload images, video, and audio to your site. You're not dependent on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You control it. You own it. It's your site, your home, your content. Their built-in search engine optimization makes it easier to find new customers, to grow your audience. They have social media features. People who come to your site can share it, can share your quotes, your brilliant ideas to their Facebook, to their Twitter, helping you build your brand. And with WordPress apps, you can manage your site on the go, Android and iOS. Not only post content, but manage comments, keep an eye on stats. It's so easy. It starts at $4 a month, 24/7 support when you need it. There's a good reason. 31% of all the websites in the world run on WordPress. Right now, if you go to wordpress.com/NSS, that's for the new screensavers, wordpress.com/NSS, you can get 15% off any new plan purchase. wordpress.com/NSS. 15% off your new plan purchase. And we thank WordPress for making it possible for me to do my thing. So this is what, when you go into a bar,
yeah,
you don't want to be wearing this, right? And this is the problem, I think, Google Glass.
I don't know.
Glass.
I think you'd be pretty hip if you came into a bar like, hey, guys,
or you get
going?
Beat up. This is the problem Google Glass ran into, right?
Well, I don't think you have... See, the Google Glass, you were tempted to go into a bar with it on. This, not so much. It's
yeah, you would
like
know better.
Not unless you're security or something
yeah,
like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy Lowry is here. He's with a company called RealWear. And you've taken Google Glass to the next level. First of all, before you did RealWear, you actually were working on stuff like HoloLens, right? And Magically.
Yeah, I founded or co-founded the company Daiquiri back in 2010 with Brian Mullins. And the two of us went off on this mission to try to take augmented reality and bring it to industry. And
I'm excited by augmented reality.
Yeah, a lot of potential there. But what I learned sort of over that journey was we're in the business of knowledge transfer. We're in the business of how do we get that piece of knowledge in that person's head? If it was Matrix days or Matrix times, you know, think about how she learned to fly that helicopter in a second. Hey, upload the program for Bell, helicopter.
Yeah, if only, right? Yeah, if only.
Well, we're not there yet. So what's the step towards that? And what we're doing is connecting people, connecting workers with machines, with other people.
So you could go onto a factory floor, you could go on an oil rig, and you might see somebody wearing something like this, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Typically more of a hard hat than a twit cap. But
right. We'll get there, though.
Actually, this is your next generation. This is the HMT 1Z1. And this meets Class 1, Division 1, and ATEX Zone 1 certifications, which means... What? You could wear this on an oil rig, right?
On an oil rig, it has virtually no way that it can be explosive. And so a lot of consumer electronics can make a spark. It can heat up to an unacceptable temperature. And in these gaseous environments, they can just blow. And this one is designed specifically to be allowed into those regions where other consumer electronics are not allowed.
So a guy can be working on an oil rig and say, okay, well, how do I fix this part? And there's a guy in Houston saying, okay, show me what you're seeing.
That's right.
And this will do it. You actually said you were using something
We've been using this to train folks on basically how to use a camera. We were using glass, not this one specifically, but the same concept. And this would actually be a lot easier than glass because you can actually point the camera a little bit.
Well, let's talk about what the features of this, Andy. So,
sure.
So Alex is wearing, is this a camera up here?
That's a camera and a flashlight, a big camera.
Turn a little bit this way so we can see it. So there's a LED light in there. And how high quality is that camera?
So you can think of this as like a GoPro Hero 6 type quality. Very, very high quality.
Much better than glass.
16 megapixel resolution and all the different sorts of improvements on stabilization and all that sort of stuff that you need to make very smooth video. So the video quality is extremely high.
So, but it's a two-way because this is a monitor, so you can see... Somebody back at Houston is seeing what you're seeing, but you can see what they're showing you. Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So, or this might be a manual for instruction manual. It could be maps. It could be a lot of things, right?
Sure. We like to say that, first of all, at RealWear, we are focused on safety, right? So the thing needs to be able to be worn outside. It needs to be worn in explosive environments.
It's IP66?
It's IP66, so you can take... dump it in water, get it wet, get it all of that sort of stuff. But at the same time, so safety's first, and then comes the idea of hands-free productivity, because at work you're wearing gloves. At work you have tools in your hands. At work you're doing things that require the use of hands in order to get the job done. So you don't have the luxury to take a handheld tablet and swipe and gesture and figure things out. You want something that's hand-free. Imagine someone working at the top of a wind tower, for crying out loud. I mean, last thing he wants to do is to take his tablet out and say, oh, let me swap around and everything else as I'm standing 150 feet off the ground.
This is what I also found interesting. It's voice control.
Right.
So I'm not, there's no mouse, there's no additional thing. We were playing with it earlier. It's my voice only. You can't do a command. It's me speaking.
Right. A series of highly tuned digital microphones basically focus beams in around the person wearing it. So noise around that person is filtered out. Of course, that works for me trying to give a command on your device that you don't want me to do. But it also works when you're in really high noise situations, like a jet engine roaring right next to you that you're working on, or a big potato chip slicer is one of our use cases we have with PepsiCo, where it's just about 100 decibels of persistent noise there. Right. Just boom, boom, boom. Works without a hitch.
It's really interesting. The challenges of an industrial environment are so different than the challenges of something like Google Glass.
It is.
But you've solved all of these. Now, I'm looking at this screen. Can you turn this on? I think it's sleeping. I'm actually wearing this. So I'm looking at this screen. And at first I thought, well, this is going to be a little distracting. You could put it in front of your eyes. That's another thing Glass wouldn't do. You could put this where it works for you.
And one of the things that I'm excited about with this is what I was primarily using Google Glass for was to record little hands-on videos.
Right.
So I want to show like how to use a little thing like this. I can go my camera and then I can show this and just record it and post it later.
Because you can see the output of that camera in the screen.
Right, yeah. If you're just taping something on or putting it on, I can actually look at it and I'm actually able to manage my frame while I'm recording.
So I'm looking now at the screen. It's about the same as what you were saying, a 7-inch screen, if it were like this, about this big in front of me.
Right.
Very legible. I see these icons. You can see them too. That's what I'm seeing here. You're seeing right here in this screen.
Right there.
So I can actually, can I say my camera? Is it listening to me?
We'll make sure that the mic's
we had to wire this a little bit oddly because
try it again now.
My camera.
There you go.
Yeah, went right to it.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Navigate back. My programs. So this is really cool. And by the way, notice it has an accelerometer. So as I turn my head, I'm scrolling through this. Now, you said we've got Kyle is waiting for me to call him and help me put this helmet together.
Because you were wearing it at the beginning of the show kind of a little bit oddly.
I need a helmet with
it. You need a helmet to wear it because you're working and you need to have your head safe. And there's a lot of hard helmets out there in the world. There's not just one type, believe it or not. There's about 50 different types of hard helmets. So we have all these clips that fit different sorts of hard helmets.
What am I to
do? And Leo, your job is to find the right clips to put this thing on.
If only I knew
somebody
who knew the answer.
Right.
So how do I call Kyle?
So why don't we go and start up the application by a great partner of ours called LibreStream named OnSite.
OnSite.
Okay, now we've called up. You see a couple experts there.
There's
one
Kyle.
Of them's Kyle. Why don't we call Kyle?
Call Kyle.
Or say Kyle Froelich.
Kyle Froelich. This is so cool. It really is responsive. It's really amazing.
Yeah, the voice, we do well.
More responsive than Kyle, apparently. Oh, there he is. Hi,
hey,
Kyle.
Leo.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm great. Now, is Kyle wearing one of these, or what is he using?
No, he's on a laptop on his side.
Okay.
So he sees a great big screen of everything you're seeing, and he's looking at what you're looking at, and he's talking to you. And so you're sharing not only a two-way call, but a two-way video stream that he can see on a great big screen to help walk you through something both visually and with voice.
So, Kyle, I got this problem here. Maybe you can help me. See this helmet? Can I zoom out a little bit? Am I too close? There we go.
Go ahead and say zoom level 1.
Zoom level 1. Okay, good. So that's as far out as we can go.
Yeah, I think we are at basic.
Yeah, and then I have,
great.
You can see this bag of clips. I don't know which clip I should use for this helmet. Do you have any suggestions for me here? I'm going to point the camera
sure.
So we can see it, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like an MSA V-Guard front brim hard hat.
How did you know that? That's so amazing. Yeah, okay.
It's the only one that I trust.
It's a trick of the trade.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yep. If you could take a picture, you can send me a high-res photo.
Oh.
Go ahead and use the command, take picture.
Take picture. I love how responsive. This is so much better than Alexa.
Now say share.
Share. So,
okay,
so this is going to be a better picture than you're getting in video because it took a little more time to send a single frame,
Absolutely.
So it's all 12 megapixels.
Exactly. And I can compensate on my end here for situations in which you have low bandwidth or low connectivity. So this just gives me the opportunity to see this very clearly, and I can tell you which clips we want to select here.
Okay.
Bear with me.
I shouldn't have moved the clips. I've moved them slightly, but I think I can find it. Go ahead, Tom.
That's okay. I'm circling the ones on the screen.
Oh, my God.
That you're going to want to use.
Look at that. Yeah, he actually is circling it, which makes it very easy for me to pick it up. I'll point the camera at it so you can see.
This guy over here, maybe.
Okay. Oh, am I flipped around, or is the one by my left hand? Okay. So this is a really good example of how a remote tech can help me solve this problem because he can see what I'm seeing. He can even show me what to do by illustrating it.
Well, absolutely.
And one of the big problems that you always have with
Leo, go ahead and say stop sharing.
Stop sharing. Oh, good. Okay. So now you're seeing my video again.
But one of the things that is really important when we're doing anything technical, it's hard to put the absolute experts at every location. And so being able to actually call them, they can sit in a master control or a NOC and be able to answer those questions in real time for people who have good skill but not the same level of skill.
Something maybe the viewers can identify with is all the new cars coming out nowadays are basically computers on wheels. And so the technicians that are used to changing a cylinder or changing a carburetor don't know really how to work on these new electric or hybrid cars as well. So
right.
They have folks sitting in Germany that are the original manufacturers or engineers that are dialing into service centers at dealerships. And we have BMW and VW and Lexus. These are all different car manufacturers that are using the HMT-1 in order to see, have the experts see what that technician's seeing who may not know how to troubleshoot a particular job because of the newness of the technology. So as our technology advances so quick, we need to train the people to repair and operate that same technology.
Right.
And these are the types of systems that the generation coming into the workforce now is really, really responding well to. So
I would think NASA would want to use these during a spacewalk. You could tell somebody, oh, yeah, pick up that wrench over there. You could see all the valuable places.
We would love NASA to do it. Now, I don't know how many astronauts. I won't sell, but maybe 12 or 15. But it's not a big market.
It's not a big market, but it's a good market.
That's
it's
right.
As used in space.
Yeah. That's right.
Very cool. So is this eventually going to be a consumer technology, or is this really, as far as you're concerned, it's an industrial technology?
Well, it is an industrial technology, but I have been pleasantly surprised at all the different ways and places that it goes. And we talked about the media training someone to set up a different situation for filming or whatnot.
Right.
Well, we have a couple of advisors that were former NBA players, and they're using the system to put that system on amateur coaches in, like, China. And they're teaching these young kids how to play basketball from the United States, from Philadelphia, from New York, sitting there in their living room, logging in once a month for an hour or 2 hours and going through a set of different training things and seeing what that amateur coach is seeing. So not only are they training the young kids, they're training those amateur coaches in China to be able to coach a little bit better.
Really,
you know?
That's really
so
cool.
So this exporting of high-end services and the partnering of technology with people, it's a few generations out. I mean, Elon Musk said recently, you know, don't underestimate the importance of people in automating factories. You still need people for a number of years to build out automation, to build out infrastructure. And these are the types of systems that we see that will help with that as we continue to evolve as a species.
He actually learned that lesson. He said, I over-automated the Model 3 production line. We had to put people back in. You need people still.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Kyle, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Leo, go ahead and say disconnect call, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Disconnect call. I'm really impressed with how how good you got the voice recognition. Yeah. Whose voice recognition are you using in
this? So we're using a whole bunch of different ones. The base core sort of language pack is from Nuance. And Nuance just does a very, very good job.
Yeah, they were Dragon Naturally Speaking. They really have the...
Oh, yeah.
They've had it longer.
They've had a long run with it. Yeah. And then some of the speech algorithms that take and filter out the noise and all of that, we use sort of a recipe that is our proprietary sort of secret recipe. And that's how it just is so robust in especially noisy environments.
That's pretty cool.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Would you use this, you think?
I'm ready to use
it. In the Pixel 4?
Yeah. Well, for me, the number one thing I would use it for immediately is building training videos, because now I can, that's what I was using, and
that's
I broke both my glass. They break right over the ear.
Yeah. Well, and, don't worry about it.
Just throw it on the table.
Hey. I'll show you something
Wait a minute.
Else.
How much is this? What?
It's $2,000.
Oh,
just
my
get
God.
Her.
There you go.
Oh, the humanity.
Do that with glass and see how much it works. Right?
It has to be in an industrial environment.
Yeah, so
it
has to be using it tomorrow. Yeah, absolutely.
That's nice. So glass is
$1,500. Let me make sure all your non-IP66 equipment isn't.
Yeah, no, our equipment's all right.
All right.
Who cares anyway? That is really impressive. I am thrilled that you came in, Andy. This is really neat stuff. How widespread is the use of this?
So we're very widespread. One of the things we did is we started out by making sure we were type approved and we could sell into every country. Because if you get a customer like Pepsi or Colgate,
they're international.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And so you
yeah.
have to be everywhere. So we're global right now. We're doing really, really well in China. Taking off like you wouldn't believe it, even though you don't necessarily associate China with new tech.
The manufacturing capital of the world.
It is. This is something that goes real well with what they're trying to do internal country. But we're also in Europe, we're in the United States, we're in South America, we're just about everywhere that you can possibly imagine. And like I said, it ranges from sports coaching all the way through nuclear power plant decommissioning. So just the amount of things that you can do with a system like that just boggles
Wait a
the
minute.
Mind.
This is running Android.
Correct.
I just saw that on the screen. Android 6.
That's right.
So does that mean you could write your own applications for this?
Oh, absolutely. And you can actually not only write your own applications with our companion software, you can drag an application that's already been written for Android, and it'll just run on the system.
Oh, wow.
It turns it and voice enables it automatically,
our
software.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So it's very, very easy to scale, easy to use existing software that you might already be using in your industrial sorts of situations.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Use it now voice-enabled versus using it with a gesture and handheld tablet.
Andy Lowry, co-founder and CEO of RealWear, realwear.com, if you want to find out more. And by the way, very comfortable. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a little heavier than a glass was.
But it doesn't feel like it's pulling to one side or...
Yeah.
You know, I think that was the problem when I wore glass for a long period of time. There was this
Your
kind
head
of
was like this.
Tend
Can't.
To pull.
Yeah.
This just is just kind of attached.
No, I could wear that all day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Andy, thank you.
All right.
Really
thanks,
appreciate
Leo.
It. Yeah, really
thanks,
neat
Alex.
Stuff.
Yeah, I really,
really
appreciate
great.
It. Thank you.
Coming up, we're going to go out into our parking lot where Nightscope is seeking out perpetrators. But first, we have a robot security guy out there. But first, a word from our sponsor, Ring. I am a fan. If you can't get a robot in your front yard, at least you can have a Ring video doorbell watching your stoop. You probably heard many times on our shows, because I sometimes forget to mute my phone, the sound of Ring telling me somebody's at my door with a package or somebody's coming up the front walk because it has a motion sensor in it. What's great about this is it connects your doorbell to you over the internet, so you can see, hear, and talk to anybody at your front door, even if they don't ring the doorbell. I use it all the time to say, hey, leave the package on the front stoop. I'm in the bath. I'll be right out, even if I'm across the other side of the world. I just love this. Now, Ring, of course, is a lot more than just doorbells. They reinvented the doorbell. They have now reinvented the home alarm system with their incredible new Ring Alarm Security Kit. I am really thrilled about this. Take a look. You've got all the sensors you need, everything you need to protect your home, including the base station, the keypad, the contact sensor lets you know when doors or windows have been opened. The motion sensor can see somebody coming down the hall or around the corner. The range extender, which means even if you've got a big house, it'll reach everywhere to every corner of the house. But get ready for this. They also offer professional-grade 24/7 monitoring. The same kind of monitoring that those other guys charge $45 a month for, $10 a month. $10 a month, 24/7 professional monitoring. Easy to install. It's affordable. There are no long-term contracts. You build a system that's just right for you. No more than you need, no less. You can, of course, as with all the Ring products, you can use it on your phone. And $10 a month for professional-grade monitoring, where they call it Ring Protect Plus. This really is the smarter way to protect your entire home. I have Ring everywhere. The Ring floodlights, the Ring doorbell, now the Ring Alarm Security Kit. It's available at ring.com, and you can see and try it at retail stores around the United States. So look for a Ring installation at your favorite store, or go to ring.com/NSS to learn how you can get whole home security for just $10 a month. That is a price nobody can beat. ring.com/NSS. We take you now to the parking lot right outside of TWIT. And there it is. There is Nightscope's autonomous security robot, the K5, patrolling. This is not a joke. This is not a Dalek. This is actually a security robot patrolling. Here to talk about how this robot is being used all over the world to help protect, predict, and prevent crime. Co-founder and chief client officer, also former Texas PD officer, Stacy Dean Stevens. Stacy, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. This is hysterical. I'm sure people immediately say RoboCop, right? But what capabilities does the K5 have, really?
You know, I think it's very important for people to understand that this is not Hollywood. This is not TV drama. So
it doesn't even have arms,
no,
friends.
No, the capabilities of the robots are actually quite tremendous. Some of the things that we have, 360-degree video, two-way audio for intercom calls, broadcast, public address system.
So I could say exterminate.
You could.
You couldn't actually do it, but I could say it.
Oddly enough, though, that's one of the things that we blacklisted.
Really?
That's not a... somebody can't type that in as a custom broadcast.
That's hysterical.
But we do have the ability to do custom broadcasts. We can do license plate recognition, thermal imaging, so looking for heat detection, fire, and the like.
So really, it's really about... surveillance. It's about watching what's going on.
Yeah, so in
what's
law
that
enforcement...
Sound? What does that mean?
We have... You can see it's got audible sound coming out of it. That's the patrol sound for the robot.
Oh, so you don't want people to be snuck up on...
No, and two, I mean, think of the society in which we live. Everybody's in their device.
I can
keep the robot from running into somebody.
I can't keep somebody from running into the robot.
So it does have lights all over the outside. There's a strobe light you see flashing on the backside of it.
How heavy is it?
About 400 pounds.
So it's hard to... pick up.
It would be very difficult.
You're not going to just run off.
But I have heard of people trying to knock these over, get it into the pond at the mall, and push it into the water, stuff like that, right?
Steve, yes.
Steve?
Steve was his name, yes.
The late Steve?
The late Steve. He's been reincarnated, though. He's actually working elsewhere now.
Oh, that's hysterical.
He's a great guy.
Now, I can see this in the mall. It's really as much preventative, isn't it, as
absolutely.
As surveillance.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this from a standpoint of being a deterrent, it is absolutely tremendous. We've deployed this in multiple different places, corporate campuses and shopping centers and the like. And as a matter of fact, XPO Logistics just put out a press release a couple of months back. In the first 6 months of having this robot, they completely
Who's
eliminated
that guy?
Crime
Arrest
on their
him. Campus. Arrest that man. You can't arrest anybody with him.
No, right? No. Okay. But they've completely eliminated crime on their campus in the first 6 months, and they saved $125,000.
Now, can you tell it to follow someone?
No, not really. It's not looking for that. It's looking for anomalies. So if you think of, if we switch over to something like
so
a
people
detection.
So does it have an autonomous mode? Is it in
autonomous? It's fully autonomous, yes.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What it's doing
so
right
you're
now.
Not steering it around. You're not driving it around. It's just it's literally patrolling up and down.
Correct.
Here's the interface on the screen.
And you could build it. You could give it like a map that it's just going to, for a mall.
We give it a geofence. We give it a geofence and say, operate in here. And then the controllers, the client or the users, can actually go in and change the patrol routes by time of day, by day of the week, so that they're actually hitting the areas that are going to be the most vulnerable.
So it saw this guy and said, that's suspicious?
Said, there is a person there. Now, that's not suspicious.
That's a still.
Unless,
that's a held still.
And then we can go in and we can play the video associated with that particular event. So now you can see the robot going.
So there's presumably an operator somewhere, but not always.
Correct.
It's like a security camera. There might be somebody looking at it. There might not
It's like your Ring. It's just like the Ring. It's going to send an alert. You're not going to sit there and look at your interface of your doorbell all day long.
No, I don't.
Same thing with this. It's doing it right now.
Oh,
so now
an alert.
We have an alert. This is a license plate that we have blacklisted. It's just one out in the parking lot, but we did this for effect.
So you could look for license plates.
Correct.
Wow.
So we have license plate recognition. So think about a terminated employee. somebody to whom you've issued.
I don't want to see him in my life.
Somebody
yeah.
to whom you've issued a criminal trespass warnings.
Right.
Or what if you wanted to provide a service to your
employees? Lost my car. I can't find my car. Can you help me find my car?
Now, could you reverse it and say only allow these
yes.
license plates in?
Whitelist. So the right. other way around. And it'll give an exception alert. But think about domestic violence turning into workplace violence.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
one of the most violent things that happens. Yeah.
Yeah.
You
it's the number one source
it
of
is.
Mass killings in the workplace.
It is. So you can right. blacklist, offer up to those people who are being abused the ability to blacklist a domestic abuser, prevent that
wow.
domestic violence from turning into workplace violence.
I'm liking this guy. Yeah. You want this guy on your side, don't yeah. you? Now, tell me a little bit. So there's four cameras on it?
We have a full 360 degrees.
Is that
so
at the
four
top?
Cameras. Up at the top is actually a series of lasers. It's a LIDAR.
Okay.
It's just a way for the robot to navigate. It's
is it using that little...
Can it build a 3D model from
that's
the LIDAR?
That's what that is, yes.
But can it store that and give it back to you as it, if it's wandering around, or is it just using it for navigation?
It's using it for navigation, yeah.
What's the notch in the top there, or is that just to look scary?
On the front side of it?
Yeah.
When it flips around, that's another LIDAR. So in total, we have, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 LIDARs on that particular
one. And are they all Velodyne?
No, they are not.
Okay.
We have
more than my Tesla.
As well.
This thing is better, it'd probably be better at autopilot than my car.
And does it do chemical any kind of chemical recognition?
Not yet. So we built it as a platform so mm-hmm. that as we move forward, we're constantly upgrading. So the good thing about this is we sell it as a subscription. We're not selling the robot and saying, okay, good luck, because, I mean, we're dealing
no,
with...
No, you want to support it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We want to make sure that we can support it, and then we provide the software upgrades, the firmware upgrades, and in some cases, hardware upgrades.
You could put a sniffer on it.
We could. So as we go out and as we continue to develop, we can continue to add things onto the platform that's for specific use cases.
You could even add just a little notch and put a dog on it.
How tall is it?
5.5 feet tall, 3 feet wide.
It's pretty big.
Weighs 400 pounds. That's the outdoor version. We have an indoor version. It's a little bit shorter, about 4.5 feet tall, 2 feet wide.
But you obviously spent some time thinking about what it should look like.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you want it to be a little intimidating? Is that part of why it's so big?
It's less about being intimidating. As a matter of fact, if we had wanted it to be intimidating, we would have painted it matte black, maybe
right.
given it red lights and a Trax propulsion system. But
can I order it that way?
These are going into public areas. So you want the public to kind of embrace them. So
yeah.
we were very deliberate about the design of it. But most importantly is really, if you think about surveillance footage, what do you always see on TV, on the news? Something coming down and looking at the
yes.
top of my head. Nobody wants to see my bald head.
No, no, you want to see
you
the person's
face. You can't identify
me. Yeah.
So if you look at the placement of the cameras, it is eye level.
Eye
we
level.
Wanted to make sure that we
Got
had
it.
Really good footage of anybody who was doing something nefarious.
Does your software do face recognition?
No. So facial recognition is incredibly difficult to do, even on a stationary camera where you have a fixed background, a fixed foreground, and only the subject coming in and out. Once you start moving the camera around, it becomes infinitely more difficult. Now, many companies are out there who are developing that. I mean, think about the body cams.
Amazon's recognition software.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as that becomes available, again, part of the service is being able to do those upgrades.
And what's the subscription cost?
Really, really easy. We wanted to be completely inclusive. The only thing that's not included... it actually is included, but there's overage if we go over on data because they communicate via LTE primarily.
Oh, interesting.
So we give 100 gigabytes of data per month. If the clients go over that, then it's just a pass-through cost. I'm not a cellular provider,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not selling that. So it's a pass-through cost. But everything else is included. So the stationary one starts at $4,500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That would be for small areas, choke points, entry points.
Okay.
The indoor version and the outdoor version are both the same. They start at $6,500. They top out fully loaded at $8,300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So for about half the cost of a 24-hour security guard,
right.
Which would be at least 4 or 5 employees because you have to have the overage and holidays and weekends and
Wait
such.
A minute. What's the K7?
That's,
I want that one.
That's not yet available. That'll be coming out sometime next year, but that is an... That is an actual running prototype that we have. There you go. There's the video for it.
What would you tell me about that? What would you use that for?
So think about perimeter fencing around a prison. keep contraband from coming in. Think about infrastructure, nuclear power plants, regular
Holy
power
cow.
Plants, solar farms, wind farms.
So this could handle rougher terrain. In
exactly. This one's intended to go in a little bit more rugged environment,
yeah.
whereas the K3 and the K5 are intended for ADA compliant areas.
I see. So, but this our parking lot is absolutely not smooth and perfect. It's got, as you can see, it's not well maintained. It's not having any trouble getting around.
Not at all.
A normal parking
not
lot.
At all.
If it's ADA compliant, if a wheelchair could go through it, you can go through
right.
it.
Right. And we do what's called the water hose test. Got to throw something down in front of it, make sure it can go over that. So the small cracks and rocks and things like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is really interesting. It is a little intimidating. Have you tested it? I mean, what do kids think when they see it?
A really quick peek on social media will show you all kinds of robot selfies with kids, adults, dogs, cats. We had people who were going out and they were posing their animals and their pets with the robots. It's really, really cool. But again, that deterrence of the robot is absolutely incredible. Not at all. Please do. I'll see it ran over his cord.
Okay. Yeah. Alex, stay out of the way of the robot. I'm just saying. Is it a robot? Is that what you call it?
We do.
Yeah. Nightscope.
Hashtag security robot.
Hashtag security robot. How many? It seems like these are all over the place.
We're solely focused on the U.S. market right now.
Okay.
We've got them in 15 different states and all four different time
wow.
zones. Corporate campuses, hospitals, airports, retail, malls. Really, really great in those environments.
Does it help in apprehending criminals? I mean, tell me some of the things this can do.
We've had some tremendous successes already. So we were instrumental in writing an arrest warrant for a sexual predator.
Oh,
we helped stop the fraudulent insurance
because you had video or you had images of this guy.
Yep.
Wow.
And also, I mean, if you think about the other things that we have, we talked about the license plate recognition and
right.
the like. Capturing additional information on a subject and giving that to law enforcement so that they can build their case better.
Do you do anything special about the video to make it more useful in prosecution of crime?
The main thing, again, is having that eye-level video. That's
yep.
one. Two, we're using only high definition,
yep.
And we also offer 4K capabilities.
Is it time-stamped and stuff like
absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it could be used in court?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you have location, you have GPS location, you have...
You do.
Is it using anything so inside the malls, how is it managing its position? It's just using LIDAR to manage its position?
Correct. LIDAR is the primary. We also have GPS for the outdoor environments.
Mm-hmm.
We're using wheelodometry and... also inertial measurement units and the like. So all those things are kind of combined together to give
right.
the robot a really good feel for where it is, what's the surroundings, what are all the obstacles in its way, and then how can it navigate through those obstacles.
Mm-hmm. It's going to kill my Roomba, though, if it sees it, right? It's just going to squish it.
Run right over it.
Is it kind of like a Roomba in that sense? I mean, tell me about the pattern. Do you tell it what pattern, or is it just kind of a random walk, or...
Totally client-dependent and environment-dependent.
Right.
You want to make certain that you're able to access areas where crime is most likely to occur. Think about a parking structure or a parking lot. Those are areas where security guards, they get very bored very quickly, and so they tend to become complacent with their environment and not paying attention to all the details.
There's somebody at your headquarters. You want to do something
right
about that?
Yep, that's right at my door. Right at my front door.
So you've got one sitting
I've got a K-1 sitting in front of my front door. We eat our own dog food, so we
this
have
really
robots.
This really is like a Ring
robots.
Video yeah. doorbell on steroids, isn't
yeah.
it? I love this idea.
Absolutely.
I want one for my house. Wow, that is really, really cool. Nightscope, this is we're looking at the K5 patrolling our lot right now. The K1 is stationary. That's what you have.
Correct.
Oh, look, there's even a map of where it is right
now. So you can see all the different, you were asking about routes. So this is a really good indication. You know, we go in, we can see all the different zones of where the robots can potentially be deployed. This is my headquarters. You can see where the robots are. A user can go in and schedule where they want them to patrol, want them to patrol.
Great.
So we come in and we work with the client to develop different zones, different patrol patterns, and then they can go in and change that by hour of the day, by day of the weekend, by machine.
Right. This is less expensive than a human and really
yeah.
Safer, really, for the humans. You can get the information you need without having to patrol all the time. Very, very cool. What's the long-term future for this? Are we going to add arms and guns?
Absolutely not. We draw a very,
okay.
very thick red line between weaponization
to go,
and
danger,
machines.
Danger,
and what we do.
Danger,
yeah.
danger.
Well, I mean, and
essentially, it's not a weapon. It's not intended to be a weapon.
No, it's meant. Its sole purpose is to give public safety officials, whether they're security guards or law enforcement, additional intelligence. We want to make certain that they have the information that they need to make smarter, safer, and faster decisions.
And it allows it to get them over the tedium. So you have, like in a mall, you don't have your... You have a QRF that is somewhere that, you know, in the mall. Mm-hmm.
A quick response force.
Officers that can go to something and handle it.
See,
they're in a central location, but they're not wandering around. Right. You have something that's telling you when it tells you that there's something going on or when you see something going on, they only have to react to that.
Correct.
But that keeps them less complacent because they're only reacting to things that are
important. The way you want to build this into your security buildup, I mean, if you're a corporate campus, you want to come in and you want to put the robots where they're going to be most successful, and you want to put the people where they're going to be most successful.
Right.
We're not trying to replace people. This is not a one-to-one replacement. I'll be the first person to tell anybody that it's an augmentation. Mm-hmm. So if you put the robots in where people are bored, they're going to be very successful. Then the people are actually going to be doing less of that monotonous boring work. Right. Give that to the robots, and now they're going to be responding to things in a more adequate way.
Yeah.
You've already exhausted Alex, our human, so we're gonna wrap this. I saw Alex is going, oh, let me he can't keep up with the robot. That's fantastic. This is not science fiction. This is happening right now all over the country.
It is today.
I think it's just fascinating.
I had somebody before the show ask me, is this the security guard of the future? I said, it's the security guard of today.
Yeah. Nightscope. Where can people find out more?
Nightscope.com, the quickest way to get information.
Nightscope.com.
They can request a demo if somebody's interested in adding this to their security team.
Yeah.
Get more information directly from the company.
Co-founder, chief client officer, former Texas PD, Stacy Dean Stevens. The other reason it's so big is so somebody's just not going to carry it off. You ever lose anybody?
Portability is not your friend in security. Not at all. So
I imagine that
two guys in a pickup truck, you could just take this.
There's numerous alarms. If you go out and you strike the machine, try to tilt it, pick it up, relocate
it. Plus, it's got GPS. Yeah. I know where it is.
Yeah, and I've already got the video of you taking it.
Yeah, people often ask me, well, what if somebody steals your Ring doorbell? I said, no problem. I got video.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's actually another couple of the crimes. I arrested somebody in Mountain View for attempting to tamper with one of our machines, caught it all on video, provided that to police, and they went to jail that night.
I got you on tape, guy. Yep. Well, there's probably not any tape in there, but I got you bits. It's really, 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 really cool. Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you.
Dean Stevens. And K5, does he have a name?
We actually allow our clients to name them.
Because I want to give him a name. Yeah. Twitty. Can we call
Frank.
Him Twitty?
You bet.
Frank?
So boring.
Yeah, actually, he should be Frank, shouldn't he? It's Frank.
Frank's
out there in the parking lot keeping an eye on things. Coming up, we're going to pit a couple of eGPUs, external GPUs, head-to-head. The Blackmagic eGPU that is exclusive to Apple, and the Razer Core 10. But first, Father Robert Ballester is going to take a look at a router aimed at gamers. Watch.
We all want more speed, and most of us blame our ISP for slow downloads, unusable upstream, and laughable pings. But what if the problem isn't the ISP, but rather the cheap modem router combo that you get in your package? And what if you're a gamer who is constantly screaming at your monitor because a laggy opponent just clipped through a wall and stole your kill? And what if I told you that both of those problems could be solved by getting a single piece of gear? The XR500 is the latest in Netgear's Nighthawk line of networking hardware designed for the avid gamer. Tipping the scale at just under $300, it's definitely on the pricey side of routers, but this isn't so much a piece of high-end routing bling as much as it is a turnkey solution for online gamers who can't even deal with high ping times and laggy opponents. But we'll get to that in a bit. The XR500 is stocked with all the hardware you might expect from a $300 home router. It's powered by a 1.7 GHz dual-core processor and features dual-band 802.11 ABGN and AC wireless. It has 4 gigabit LAN ports, 1 gigabit WAN port, and enough firepower to do non-blocking full speed on all of them. For expansion, the XR500 has 2 USB 3.0 ports on the side of the router. These can be used to connect external storage, peripherals, or USB-connected broadband devices. Combined with the Duma OS operating system and its ecosystem of apps, the XR500 is one flexible piece of gear that comes really close in expandability to my favorite routers from Synology and Asus. Now, performance is fantastic. full-speed gigabit Ethernet ports, and second-wave 802.11 AC wireless rated for 2.6 gigabits per second are rock solid. I didn't have a single drop or disconnect during the testing process. It managed to cut through three stories of an old building that had previously been served by three Apple airports. And it did it with a far higher average bandwidth and solid connectivity. Better still, if you're using the default modem router from your ISP, you'll probably notice a marked increase in external bandwidth just because the XR500 routes packets much more quickly than a generic no-name brand device. At the test location, the basic Comcast router was getting 14 megabits per second downstream. When I replaced it with the XR500, the downstream jumped to 22 megabits per second with no other changes to the network. Of course, the XR500 is a gaming router, and it's in gaming that it shines. The Duma OS has QoS features that optimize gaming better than any router that I've ever tested. The network monitoring and QoS apps work in concert to protect the bandwidth of any device that you mark as gaming gear. On the WAN side, you can configure the XR500 to automatically reject incoming connections that don't meet your requirements for ping and bandwidth. This means that you have the power to automatically block online players who would adversely affect your gaming sessions. If you're a gamer, that is well worth the price of the XR500. In the end, the XR500 is a well-designed, well-appointed router with phenomenal performance at a premium price point. That price point puts it at a disadvantage when compared to high-end routers from other premium manufacturers if you're just going to use it to stream video and check email. But if you're a gamer, and if you long for the killer connection, it's money well spent. I'm Father Robert Ballasaire, the Digital Jesuit, for Twit TV.
Robert will come back one last time before he heads to Rome. He's going to be on Twit, not this Sunday, but a week from Sunday. So I guess is that August 24th, I think. Anyway, no, it can't be. It's later than that. But the last Sunday of August, Robert Ballasaire will be in studio. We can all say goodbye, wave goodbye as he sails for Vatican City, where he's going to be in charge of, I think, a chat room for the Pope. I think is actually what he's doing. Your arm is leaning on your next acquisition. I think, Alex.
I was just waiting for you to look away. And I was...
Apple has an interesting conundrum. They right now don't have a whole lot of high end hardware. The Mac Pro is on the back burner probably till next year. They've got an iMac Pro, but there's no room in there for a fancy NVIDIA 1080 Ti or one of the new NVIDIA cards. These laptops, absolutely not. Discrete graphics are in here, but you can't put anything too heavy duty. So they've done something interesting. And I think even in the Windows world, you're starting to see this. External graphics processors. And they only made sense when Thunderbolt 3 came along, because Thunderbolt 3 has finally enough throughput, 40 gigabits a second, that they could actually, they go out, they send the process to a GPU externally, and then it sends the data back? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically like being on the board, except that it's not on the board.
Right.
It's fast. You finally have that connection. And the big advantage is now you can have a laptop, you can do your laptop stuff when you're traveling, you come home, and you have the power of a desktop.
Right.
I mean, that's the real opportunity. And, if the applications are able to take advantage of the eGPU.
For $700, Apple sells this. They sell it exclusively. It was designed by Blackmagic. It has a very Apple-y look. This is the Blackmagic eGPU. And you can see absolutely that's the use case they anticipate, because as much as this is an eGPU, it's a dock.
Right.
Right? It has four USB 3.1 ports. It's got two Thunderbolt 3 ports, a full-size HDMI connector, and power. So I can basically have this all plugged in, have my keyboard, mouse, and monitor all hooked up, and then I put my laptop down. The laptop just plugs in with a short Thunderbolt 3 cable. And
now you're powering the laptop and powering it and connecting it to everything in the room everything you need. Yeah.
So I can see in fact, that's the main reason I got this. I thought, well, this will be great for the studio when I get in with my laptop. I just plug it in and it's ready to go. We can put it on the air and everything. I found this to be a really pretty nice and elegant device. Doesn't get too hot. It does offload the GPU, but it has a disadvantage. It is unupgradable. This is a 580 in here, and that's all that'll ever be in here. AMD 580 Radeon, a graphics processor. The laptop I got has a discrete GPU as well. This has the 560 inside. Now, we can do the same thing with this. This is the Razer eGPU. They call this the Razer X. And what's interesting about this is the Core X, I should say, is it supports upgradability. You can open it. In fact, it's really cool to open it up. I guess I probably shouldn't do it while it's on. But there's a little handle on the back. You just pull it right out. There's one big slot. You can put anything you want in here. You can even put, if you're using Windows machines, NVIDIA cards. There's room for it. It's a PCI Express slot. The reason I say if you're using a Windows machine is the drivers for Apple and NVIDIA. Apple doesn't officially support NVIDIA.
That's correct.
Why is that, Alex?
Well, the big issue is that the operating system, the OS X operating system, really focuses heavily on GPU or OpenGL and now Metal and so on and so forth. And so the issue that Apple has is that there's so much of their operating system needs the graphics processor that they want to write all the drivers. NVIDIA, you know, to get the maximum performance, they want to write all the drivers. And they just never have been able to get, you know,
They couldn't get together,
ATI was like, yeah, you can do whatever you want. And NVIDIA was like, no. And so what you end up with is...
Let me turn this off and show you, because I really want to show you how easy this is. We'll unplug everything. And it has just a handle on the back. You can see right here. And there's no tools. There's no screws. It just slides right out.
That's what we wish is every computer.
Everything should be this easy, exactly. Right? It's got a big fan on it. This is the Razer Core. Do you think it's X or 10? I'm going to say 10, right? Maybe it's X. This is a big, you can see the big sapphire card in here, and it's got its own fan. So there's plenty of cooling going on. PCI Express slot, a single slot, though. So you'd have to have a, there are GPUs that have dual slots, right? You can only run one card in here. But it is very easy to upgrade. Be a simple thing to pull this out. Power supply is pretty hefty. Let's see. I have the specs here. 650 watts, ATX.
So it can really power almost any card that you can put into it.
That's a lot of wattage. Remember, of course, if you're powering the laptop, 100 watts thereabouts will go to the laptop. Thunderbolt 3 only supports 100-watt charging, but that's enough for a MacBook Pro. It's a PCI Express times 16, so it's got a lot of channels on here. That's good. So for any modern card, this is a Sapphire Pulse Radeon RX. They said they sent a 580.
It's not.
It's identifying as a 570. I don't know if that's a problem with the software or what, but it's identifying as a 570. This is a pretty fast card.
But what was interesting is it's identifying as a 570, but it was testing
Pretty much the same speed as a 560, which I thought was kind of interesting.
No, 580.
It's a 580. All right, let's put it back in.
I think you missed the slot here. I think it's a slot.
Screw it. Just throw it right in there.
There we go.
All right. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go, Anthony, switch over to the Black Magic. One of the things that you should be aware of that kind of bit me is when you're using an eGPU, you can't just disconnect it.
because the operating system is so based on using the graphics processor to render the screen, you're basically disconnecting the operating system from the rest of the world.
I don't know what to do.
This is why Apple wants to have control over all those drivers.
Now I understand why, right? So when you plug this in, it actually puts a little icon in the menu that says your eGPU is plugged in, and there's a drop down that says, would you like to eject the eGPU? Would you like to remove the eGPU? And if you just pull it out, it'll go, no, don't do that. Please. Here, I'll show you I rebooted this machine so you could do it. And I don't know. Can you see, Anthony? You can. So here's the little disconnect AMD Radeon Pro 580. And you better do that before you disconnect it. And by the way, it takes a while because it's in effect logging out and logging back in. It's shutting every process down and then logging back in to do it. Let me show you some of the benchmark results we got. We'll start. We both, I ran Cinebench R15 and got a frame rate of 9. This is with the internal Radeon 560X in the notebook, 96.74 frames per second. That's more than adequate as far as I'm concerned.
Yep.
That's a nice speed. But let's look at the Geekbench, because Geekbench actually takes a look at the raw processing power built into the GPU. This is the Intel motherboard GPU that comes with this MacBook. Just to give you a base score, the OpenCL score of 22,078. Now, let's take a look at the 560. That's the internal card in here. It's a lot better, 59,683. So that's almost three times.
That's why you never want to use a Mac Mini for anything that requires GPU.
You really want a discrete, discrete GPU. Yeah. Let me try the 570. That's the external I think this is the Razer Core 10. It identifies as a 570. But it gave us a result very similar to the 580 in the Blackmagic. So I'm thinking maybe just misidentified it. It's probably a 580 in the X in both the Razer. As you can see, very similar scores. 119,837 for the Blackmagic, 119,190 for the Razer.
And for 10. Some applications, they're going to be able to take advantage of all of those GPUs. They're not going to simply be just the fastest one, which is twice as fast. It'll take something like a photo scan, which I use. We'll say, well, I'll just look at all of these and start using
it. Actually, can use the Intel, the discrete GPU inside the laptop, and the external GPU.
Yep.
In fact, I'm running iStat Pro here, and we can see. If I look at I see the Radeon 560X and the 580, both are available. In fact, both even get used a little bit. That's the memory use right now.
And I think that if you plug this one in, you'd get...
You think I could use all three?
I think you can.
Should we try it? Come on, plug it all in and let's just see. Let's go crazy. I mean, that's the good news about having multiple Thunderbolt 3 ports. chat room, is there any reason why I shouldn't do this? The chat room's not going to tell me. They're going to say, no, go ahead and do it, Leo.
Do it, man.
Even if they know it's a bad idea. All right. Now I have...
Can
is
I
that
it
powered
on?
Up? Go ahead. Power it up. Now I have possibly a 580 here, a 580 here, internally a 560, and I don't know, maybe even the Intel Iris Pro graphics. I wonder if it'll use all of those. I might need to reboot to really have it see everything. But you can see there is a huge difference. The internal... GPU, the Iris Pro, 22,000, whatever that unit is on Geekbench. And once we put an eGPU in here, 120,000.
And possibly 240.
You think?
Going to infinity and beyond.
All right. We're gonna time lapse this because it's going to take me a little while. I'm going to restart the machine. So watch as I wave my hand. Machine, restart. All right, let's log in and see if we can see these all. You know, I didn't even think of this. Only you would think of this, Alex Lindsay, putting two eGPUs on here.
Well, it did occur to me with this one has two Thunderbolt 3s, so you could theoretically have three of these in your
chain.
Office.
I could do
daisy
more.
Chain them and just have them all sitting. I don't know where
the
you
key would be
out.
That the software was smart enough to thread it out to all the GPUs.
Yep. Yep.
Most software probably doesn't assume.
But if you're buying three of those, you might have software that could do it. That's all I'm saying.
You could afford that kind of software. All right, let me just see if iStat even sees all these GPUs. Well, lo and behold, it does.
Yep.
I now have a 560X, an RX 570, which, by the way, we think is the misidentified 580 in the Core 10, and the Radeon Pro 580, which is in the Blackmagic eGPU. Now, unfortunately, Geekbench won't let me try all three of them at once. I think Geekbench only lets me choose one core. Let's go to the compute. It sees all four of them. So the compute device, let's make it be the 580. Should we run this and see what we get?
Well, it's only going to be the 580.
It won't use all of them?
No.
So that's the problem, is I need a benchmark that would see... all four of those GPUs.
Right. But something like Cinema 4D will be able to actually...
It would actually access those.
Look at them all. Yeah.
Look at that. That is pretty awesome. That is raw power. Now, the good news is the price is right on the Core X plus a Sapphire Radeon RX 580, $580. So for the same processing power, you're getting, it's $100 less than the Blackmagic. If you get the Core V2 plus a Sapphire 580, that's $779.98. The Blackmagic eGPU is $700.
Now, and the one thing that this one doesn't have is all of those extra connectors. So if you want to use this as a hub,
it's a great
the Blackmagic's a better dock.
It's a great
dock. This one is pure GPU. You've
it does got, have a couple of HDMI ports and some display ports as well as so a VGA
this one,
port for
so,
some reason.
So I would say, or this is a DVI, I think.
Oh, is that DVI? Okay.
It's hard to remember now. We never see them anymore.
I never saw that.
So it's like, but the...
If you want to put a bunch of monitors and connect it to it, this one's going to be a better one.
Yeah.
It looks like up to 4 monitors that you could hook to it. This one's going to be better if you're going to use it as a dock.
Right. And you can daisy chain monitors on Thunderbolt, right? I mean, there's enough. Maybe not.
You should be able to.
Should be, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
We only got 106. The OpenCL score, 116,903. So, in fact, it's a little bit slower for some reason when I have all of these hooked up. That might be an overhead problem.
Right.
But a Geekbench doesn't, in fact, give me a chance to test all 4. But we do see all 4, and if software were able to use all 4.
I think we need to get 2 more. Put them on the other side. I mean, if 2 work, 4 must work even better.
I think there's no limit because we can daisy chain till the cows come home.
We just need to, we should get 8 or 10 and hook them up and see how it goes.
I think an eGPU, by the way, this is $300 unpopulated, but there's no point in unpopulating.
It's not as fast.
Yeah.
It's unpopulated.
It doesn't run as quite as well without a video card. But it does give you the choice of the video card. The other advantage this has, besides being a little less expensive, the Razer Core 10 is upgradable. So when a new video card comes out from Radeon, you can use it and it'll work, you know, presumably if Apple provides the drivers. Apple really, I think, wants this eGPU system to work. I think they're going to always support additional cards because this adds so much value to its MacBook Pro and its iMac line. They built in eGPU support last generation of Mac OS. So clearly, this is something Apple will support.
And I do think that as we start to a lot of metal, with metal and so on and so forth, I think you're going to see them take full advantage of those.
Yeah.
Those systems.
One last question. How loud is that? Can you hear it?
I can hear it, but barely.
It's not bad. The nice thing about the Blackmagic, it's very, very quiet. They've really designed this for studios, mm-hmm. Recording studios and places where you just didn't want to hear a lot of fan noise.
And again, like a good use for this will be 360 development inside of like Final Cut. If you're doing that, you need to render that out. That's all using GPU.
Well, so another way they're promoting this, you can plug a HTC Vive headset into this and run whatever Steam software will run, VR software will run on the Macintosh, run it with this. This is finally, Apple has access to the HTC Vive.
Right.
So that's another good reason to get the eGPU. I kind of like it. That's just a pretty little device.
It's pretty.
Yeah. If I could get it to patrol the parking lot, it would have been a good purchase. Mailbag coming up next. But first, this has been fairly controversial. Epic Games, which has so far made $150 million on Fortnite on iOS, has decided they don't want to give 30% to Google. They're going to make people sideload Fortnite onto their Android devices, which requires turning on that little checkbox that says allow unknown sources. How dangerous is that? Jason Howell from All About Android explains.
You may have heard of that scrappy little game that's getting just a tiny bit of attention. It's called Fortnite. It passed something meager, like, I don't know, $1 billion in in-game sales last month. Epic Games had already released this behemoth on nearly all platforms, and then last week finally released the beta version for Android users. Yes, there are limits on which devices can actually play the game, but more importantly, Epic Games chose to bypass the Google Play Store for distribution and instead is offering this popular free-to-play game on its own website. In order for Android users to install Fortnite outside of Google's walled garden, players will have to go into the device's settings and toggle something called unknown sources. What on earth is unknown sources? Those users are probably asking themselves that. Well, I'm here to give you all the skinny on that seemingly innocuous feature of the Android OS. Unknown sources, or on Oreo, they updated it, and it's a direct permission called unknown apps, is a setting that essentially represents the restrictions that are placed on apps that sit outside of Google's control. That's any app installed outside of the Google Play Store, in other words. So when a user finds an APK file, which is like an installation file that installs an app or a game on the phone directly, that user must toggle this particular setting to on in order for the Android OS to even allow for it to be installed in the first place. Now, when a user opts in with that setting, that user is essentially saying, yes, I understand that this app was obtained outside of Google's purview, and it's entirely possible that this is a bad app with bad intentions, but I'm going to install it anyway. Google warns you of as much when you toggle that setting on with a little dialogue that states that your device is vulnerable to attack and that you are responsible for any damage that might occur as a result of opting in. Hopefully you read that and maybe even read it again because it tells you what you really need to know. Now, is it bad of Android to allow the installation of apps that could impact the security of a device? That depends on who you ask. Many Android users enjoy the freedom and openness of the platform, and this is arguably one of those features that makes Android, Android. And Google isn't saying that all apps from unknown sources are bad, just that you have to be very careful about where those apps come from and who you decide to trust in the process. The big risk here is that users might opt into granting that unknown source's permission, install a game like Fortnite, and then forget to go back into settings to opt out again. Essentially, they've unlocked the door, and that creates a new gateway into the phone for apps that might take advantage of that loose insecurity and then load ads or insert malware or really who knows what else. Now, if a user installs a bad app in this fashion, all is not lost. In fact, Google has a system now in place on Android that actively scans all apps being installed on the device. And this is not just limited to those installed via the Play Store. This scanning happens on any device that's running Google Play services. So if your phone has the Google Play Store on it, you can basically rest assured your phone has Google Play services on as well. And that active scanning can detect the bad app when it matches another known bad app in Google's database of bad apps that it uses to scan up to, I don't know, 50 billion bad apps per day or just apps in general. It's highly likely that it'll match with something in that database. Look, Amazon has employed this distribution method for its app store for years, so this isn't anything new, but Fortnite is gigantic, and people need to know what they're opting into. Namely, so they opt out once the game is finally finished installing. If you remember one thing, it's this. Go back into your settings and opt out when the dust has settled. Then you can rest easy at night. I'm Jason Howell, and I talk all about Android every week here on Twit.tv.
Thank you, Jason. On many versions, I think on the latest versions of Androids, when you do allow it to install unknown apps, it will only do it for that app, and then it will return to the default setting, which I think is a really good compromise. Yep. So it says, well, you know what you're doing here. Get this app, but it doesn't leave that feature on. It goes back into the more secure mode.
It's still a horrible idea.
You don't like you blame Epic for this?
Yeah, Epic. I think it's arrogant. I think that they think that they can force people to do this, and they don't want to pay that little extra, you know, to do the.
Well, it's not little. If it were, it could be as much as $50 million. I mean, it's a lot of money. The other thing is, this is like a PC, and I think this is where Android is more like a PC than like iOS. On a PC, you can sideload. You don't even have a permissions box to check. You just do it.
I think it also puts them at risk. So if someone gets hacked, if a hack goes out, people download something that isn't safe, or anything happens there, they're going to be liable because they force people to do that.
Epic will be.
Yeah. You know, that's
the issue. I think that's actually the real danger of this is not that you've turned off that security feature and then you're open and might accidentally download something bad. Much more likely that bad guys will pose as Fortnite.
Right.
And put Fortnite up and say, hey, here's Fortnite. All you have to do is trust this app. People go, yeah, I heard that this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Do it and download something that says it's Fortnite but isn't.
Right.
That's actually, to me, that's the big risk here.
If you're going
to install Fortnite, make sure you're getting it from Epic Games and not somewhere else.
And I think that if it turns out that a WannaCry type of distribution happens on a side load because of Fortnite, Epic is going to pay for that, and it's going to be more than $50 million.
We should watch and see. That'll be very interesting. Be careful. I mean, I think Fortnite's a wonderful game. There's a risk to Epic that people will go, I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And just go download PUBG instead.
Right.
There's another risk. It's a risky thing to do. Thank you, Jason Howell. You'll find Jason on All About Android every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time. That would be, I think, around midnight. UTC, if you want to stay up late. And, of course, every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, with Megan Maroney doing Tech News Weekly. And now it's time for the mailbox. I'm going to call it the mailbox. Oh, look, there's my shirt on the big screen. Colleen, you sent me the wrong mailbox. There doesn't seem to be any way to open the mailbox. She turns it around.
Nobody's done that yet. That's the first time. This is the iOS version of the mailbox. There's no way to get into it. This is the Android version of the mailbox. There is a switch that says
a little handle.
You can download something from an unknown source. Pick the email you wish to answer. All right. And we'll start with mine, because for some reason I always get email one in this. Colleen's blushing. Hello, could you help me out with batch converting Apple's new HEIF images to JPEG on my Mac? Thank you for the informative shows, RJ. He said HEIC, high efficiency image format, HEIF. HEIC is related, right? I'm not sure what H-E-I-C is. But the images that you're taking on your new iPhone are this high efficiency image format, which we like a lot. It's a standard. It's not just yep. Apple. It's going to be a standard. Is the same?
Are,
oh, it does.
They
all right. There's a little message from Anthony. Yeah, see, they're .heic, but it's mm-hmm. it's in the high efficiency image format. I'm sure there are converters that will do this. Do you know of any?
Well, the most popular converter is a converter called Photos. so if you load
export
these,
out of Photos.
If you export out of Photos, it's automatically going to turn it into a JPEG. If you drag it out of Photos or send out original, you're going to get an HEIC. But if you say export and you just select them all, export it, and it'll just send them all out. That's how I convert them to JPEG.
And you know, now that I've talked to Sal Segoyan on triangulation, I would behoove me to mention that Photos does in fact have an Apple Script Dictionary.
Right.
It would be simple to write an Automator action that you could, or you know what I would do is, there you go, there's Automator doing it. I would even maybe even look at saying there's in Apple Script a folder watch feature where you could have a folder that if you put files in that folder, they would automatically be converted
right.
to JPEG.
And one of the things that's important for this is, for instance, I use Keynote and I go back and forth between my iPad and my Mac. My Mac will look at the HEICs. You can't always see them on the other side. So you need to.
Boy, you'd think it would.
I think it's coming. It's just that I just know that I have to convert them to get that
this,
to work.
This format is going to be, I think, a universal format. It's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's much more efficient.
Yeah. Your question now.
My question is from Phil.
This is Phil Reed at Purdue University Department of Animal Sciences. Just want to let you know that we make hay while the sun shines, which is wonderful.
That's beef
for
team.
Hay, it sometimes presents problems when you go to video. We'll take you back about a month ago. We had bright sunshine, not a cloud in the sky, and we were going to shoot a new brand new hay baler that we have from the right to the left. I set everything up, was cognizant of where my son was, and then I keyed it in, started my video, and couldn't see a thing. I was wanting to follow the baler and pan and zoom with it from one side of the field to the other. I had so much glare, I couldn't tell where I was. Possibly, are there goggles that you can use to correct this? Any help would sure be appreciated. Thanks so much.
That is, by the way, Beef Team, who is a regular in our chat room. That's his chat room handle, Beef Team. And we talk about his job at Purdue all the time. That's exciting. I'm glad to see you, Beef Team. Thanks for the video. So what happened? He was shooting into the sun?
Well, what happens is that on these little, on a inexpensive, actually all monitors on your cameras, they're not bright enough to really keep up with the sun. So if you're in bright sunlight, you just can't see it. It looks dark. So
the problem was he was just trying to look at his
he's
his
trying to look at it
in bright
sunlight.
Well, not
sunlight. Phone, but he's got like a G20.
Oh, same so problem.
Same problem.
LCD,
you're looking at
screen.
If you were outside looking at your screen, you couldn't do it. Now, what we use a lot of times is external monitors. So we don't necessarily use goggles for it, but we'll get another monitor and you can Blackmagic makes them, Small HD makes those. A lot of, you know, Sound Devices makes one. You can record on it. Now, what we do with that is we use a little attachment that the one that we use is by Hoodman. So Hoodman is a it's basically.
But you can go ahead.
You could
probably get a Hoodman for your camera.
I don't know if you can
LCD.
Get one for the G20. But you might be able to.
It's
you
just
could
a
make
suction
a
cup. Now, here's the thing. Go over the LCD, but you have to put your eye on.
It's just really hard. You know, and Zacuto makes one that'll actually attach to LCDs, and you can just kind of look into it.
Z-A-K-U-T-O.
Yeah, but here's Hoodman. And Hoodman is, what you see here is these are attachments for
monitors so that this is designed for exactly what you're talking about, which is that it's going to be a these hoodmans are designed to basically go around your viewfinder so that you can really look into it and see it. And this is probably your easiest bet. Now, of course, we have made these when we haven't had one. We've made them out of cardboard. You know, so the main thing is
you can see.
The one thing you want to note is if you're going to make them out of cardboard, you still want to spray paint them on the inside with black, like a matte black, because otherwise you get a lot of reflections going on. Right. So you don't need to spray them on the outside, except that it looks cooler than Amazon boxes, you know. But anything that you can kind of pack around your monitor there. But the hoodmans tend to be really easy. They're Velcro. You can just pop them on, pop them off. But they work on a lot of the popular monitors that you have there. Of course, you can't. These have eyepieces that you can look into, but those can be hard to look at.
This is the GF10. He was using the G20, but I'm sure it has the little eyepiece.
It does, but it'd be
the
hard.
Problem is this is so much of a larger image, yeah. And it's so easy to look at this image. You don't.
You could build one that goes around that, or you could. You know, my concern with goggles and farm machinery, as someone who grew up on a farm, is, you know, watching it go by, I think, is really good. If you got any closer to the baler, you might find yourself attached to the PTO shaft. And
yikes.
Yeah, you don't want that.
And real quick.
Twist you up in a...
Yeah, nothing like 5,000 RPM to...
You have an iCup. Alex is on our handheld right now. And while he's looking at the LCD... Because, of course, it's easier when you're in the studio and the lighting's not. But if it got real bright, like when you were out following the robot around, there's a little eye cup on that that you can put your eye
on. It's a little harder from a, you know, if you've got it on a tripod and everything else, old school guys are really good at it. All of us new guys just want to look at the screen.
That's why in the old days.
But that's why Hoodman has become so popular.
And Beef Team, I'm sure, is old enough to remember this. When the photographer took a picture, he put the black cloth over his head and say, smile at the birdie.
You could do that.
You could totally do that.
Your friends would make fun of you.
Just put a bag over you.
You could literally just put a big old black cloth over. You get some doobie. You like tape it to the thing and throw it over.
Then you really don't want to get close to the combine. Then you want to stay far away.
540 RPM. Sorry.
You can't see it. Is that how fast the
PTO shaft.
The PTOs turn at 540?
Yeah. It's fast.
Yikes.
Well, that's what powers the hay baler.
Right.
That's why I roll up my sleeves, is because when I was a kid, I was always afraid that the PTO shaft would grab onto my arm.
Well, we're learning something
about that. There you go.
Yeah. Thank you, Beef Team. It's great to meet you for reels for a change. Alex Lindsay, thank you for coming in. It's always great to have you on.
It's great
the
show. To be here.
I don't,
Absolutely.
You know, this. You should just be the regular co-host on the show. If you would just stay in one place, you could be.
I'm not good at that.
Not good at
that. I try.
You'll find out more about what Alex is up to at Alex Lindsay on the Twitter, AlexLindsay. Think of it as, what does Alex Lind say?
Exactly.
Right?
That's usually what I say. Exactly.
What does Alex Lind say? If you want to watch this show, you can be in studio with us. We had a great studio audience. It was nice to see Zara and Rick from Sydney, Australia. And your kids were here, too, which was really nice, Malachi and Isabella.
They love coming into the studio.
Having you, because good toys in here. Yep. This time we had robots. I'm amazed they didn't push the robot over. If you want to be in studio, just email tickets at twit.tv. If you're a family member of a Twit host, you don't have to do that. But everybody else, email tickets.
They're going to be here Tuesday. They were like, Good. Can we come Tuesday? And
Good.
They were like, ready to go.
We'll have some more of that biltong for you. Yeah. Email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. If you want to watch the show stream live, you can do that at twit.tv/live. You can also chat in the chat room. As long as you're watching the live stream, those are the kids who are watching at the same time. So you can all talk about what silly things, and Beef Team's in there and a whole gang. Just irc.twit.tv. Now, we do make on-demand versions of everything we do available on the website, twit.tv/NSS for new screensavers for this show. But all of our shows are up there. And, of course, all you have to do is search for Twit in your favorite podcast application. You'll find a list of all of them. Subscribe to the shows you want, and the minute they're available, they'll automatically download to your phone, and you'll be able to listen and watch at your leisure. You can also listen to everything we do on your voice-enabled device, your Echo or your Google Assistant or your Cortana device, your HomePod. Just ask your assistant by name, Echo, say, listen to the new screensavers, and it should just play the most recent episode. You can also watch live or listen live if you say Echo. Listen to Twit Live. Sometimes you have to say on TuneIn. I don't know why, but sometimes it does. And then you can listen as we do the shows. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time on the Screensavers. Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye.
Yay!
The world's longest television show.